Welcome to the Yacht Rock Show with your captain, Eddie Ganz, with First Mate Joe Carlisle and Samir at the wheel. And here's your host, Eddie Ganz.
Hello, my friends, and welcome aboard the Yacht Rock Show, COVID number 12.
Oh my God, I got so used to doing this, I forgot that they were the COVID version again.
Say hello to Joe Carlisle.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for
Joey.
Tuning in.
Joey.
If you have tuned
How you
in,
doing?
Thanks for tuning in. I'm good.
That's right. And we got Samia, don't forget, on the wheel. So, Joey, it's a great week. By the way, I want to let you know Christopher Cross is doing better.
Oh, why? He had COVID?
You didn't know?
Yeah, I think you did mention that last time.
Yeah, bro.
He was
hit with some kind of a paralysis. So he's therapy. Oh
what?
Yeah, yeah, bro.
I haven't heard any reports of it actually manifesting in any kind of paralysis.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hmm. The man was in a wheelchair and he's doing therapy every day. But he's coming
walking,
back.
Walking or all his limbs?
I think it's a walking, yeah. But he's coming
back. Again, he must have had an underlying condition. I mean, he's older. He might have had a high blood pressure or one of those pre-existing conditions.
Right. Who knows?
But this is
thank
not
God
the
he's doing better.
COVID information show. Let's move on
no,
to the
but music. Come on. It's Christopher Cross. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It warrants
right.
mention.
That's the connection, exactly. And by the way, we're gonna feature Mr. Boz Skaggs. It's his birthday this week, Joe.
Mr. I Hate Yacht Rock himself. Yeah, we might as well help him out a little bit since he hates the Yacht Rock term.
I'm sure
so
he doesn't mind the residuals.
Yeah,
we mentioned that before.
Right? We mentioned that before when we were talking to the great Robbie Dupree. You want to mention that we have that coming
oh,
up?
Oh, yeah. Folks, we got a great interview with Mr. Steelaway himself, Mr. Robbie Dupree, later on in the show. So hang in for that. It's going to be great. So listen, let's get started, Joe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's one by the Average White Band. That was produced by David Foster. This is a great album. It's yachty as hell. It's got a bunch of great tunes. But this one was their kind of their disco outing, sort of like the Chicago Street Player type of thing.
Yeah.
This is very soulful, man. It's amazing. These guys. What are they, Swedish, right, Joe?
No. They were very influenced by the disco movement. I mean, think about Play That Funky Music.
Right.
Yeah, you got Hamish Stewart is one of the
where are they from?
Players. Hamish Stewart is British.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think Hamish Stewart and most of them. Alan Gorey is the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Gorey is the bass player. I think they're all British guys. I mean, there might be a Swedish guy in there. I don't know enough. But I know about Hamish Stewart because Hamish Stewart had a long and storied career from way before Average White Band all the way up to today.
Oh, okay. All right. So here we go, folks. Let's get started. Average White Band, Let's Go Round Again.
To you, to see if the love that we knew before. let's go round again. One more time.
glad to hear the original version of that. We usually play like a remix or something.
That is the remix. That is the extended.
I didn't realize it was the remix.
Yeah, it is.
I guess I wasn't paying attention. I went to the turlet, so I couldn't hear.
You went to the turlet? Okay.
No, you know what else, too? That the Average White Band was pretty cool. The intro, that string intro.
Uh-huh.
Anybody who knows Jaco Pastorius knows his groundbreaking first album from 1975. And there's a tune on there called Coo / Speak Like a Child. And the intro, the string intro, is identical to that intro on that that Average White Band album. Go check it out.
For those of you that don't know, Jaco Pastorius was a bass virtuoso, right, Joe?
The bass virtuoso.
Excuse me.
Yeah, to this day, nobody has rivaled his. You know, plenty of people have stood on his shoulders and added to what he did. And, you know, you would assume that they're, you know, oh, yeah, of course they're better. They're doing this, and Jaco didn't do that. But they would not exist had Jaco not came on the scene with his original unique voice.
Right.
Okay, the bass player hour is now over. And we move on to the rest of the yacht rock. I wish Jaco had some yacht rock stuff. But that's more like jazz rock, jazz yacht.
Yeah, it's very deep.
If it's yacht at all, it's jazz yacht.
Exactly. Or smooth jazz, right?
Maybe? No, not smooth jazz.
No, wait a minute. No. What
am I talking pretty hard-edged stuff. I mean, he's
Well, maybe Charlie Parker transcriptions. Didn't he work with Robin Ford, Joe?
I think Robin Ford was on the Yellow Jackets. That's what you remember in that. Robin Ford was on Ménage à Trois.
So he never worked with Jaco, no?
I don't know about worked off of, off of that at a recording studio, but as far as recorded output, I don't think there's anything. I think you're thinking Yellow Jackets because he's on, Robin Ford was in on Yellow Jackets, Ménage à Trois. Mirage à Trois, I'm sorry. Mirage, not Ménage.
Right.
He's the one that did the guitar part. Now that great chink, 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 chink. What's
love
that tune?
That.
Remember that tune? What was that tune?
Yeah. Bang, gang, gang, gang.
Yeah. Matinee Idol? Is that Matinee? That's not Matinee Idol.
No, that's not Matinee Idol.
We're digressing into a real jazz yacht. We got to do an offshoot podcast of jazz yacht.
Yeah, he's talking about Yellow Jackets, folks. They're great. It's not. That's the kind of jazz that I like. Because it's, call it what you will, it's like a funky pop jazz that came out in
melodic.
81. Right, Joe?
Yeah, sure.
Right. Great stuff. So listen, this is for Boz Skaggs. Happy birthday, Boz. And this is, I love this. I never tire of this song. It's so smooth. It's so cool. This is like the essential yacht song, you know? What am I talking about? JoJo, Boz Skaggs. Here it is.
Just as soon off you for looking my way out. JoJo, go JoJo. got to keep her sweet. He keep her just right, keeps her on the street.
Jeff Caro, Steve Hungate, kicking it, love it. Can't get tired of that song. It's so smooth.
You got a Toto
smooth.
For us today, or no? Did you bring a Toto?
Yes, we do. I believe we.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. So next up is Stevie Woods. Stevie Woods in the early '80s had these two top 40 hits, and he did well for a while. But then, as quickly as he came in, he quickly fizzled out. But then he relocated to Germany, Joe, and he became part of that. Yeah, that's, remember Starlight Express? Remember that thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
He did that where he successfully relaunched his career with the single Rock Me Baby and starring in the musical Starlight Express.
Was he starring in it or did he write music for it?
No, he starred in it.
Wow, that was in New York. It was in New York for a while. Did he come and do the New York version or no?
I don't know.
Any relation to Stu Woods? I know you know Stu Woods.
No, not at all. No.
Okay.
No, not at all. But here it is, and this is Certified Yacht, Steal the Night, Stevie Woods.
The message in your eyes, I feel the hunger closing in, and something deep within the night tells me that I'm in love again.
not the first time, and I know it won't be the last. All alone, I can't make the first rhyme. No, don't let this one slip past. Let's steal the night. Let's make our great escape. Steal the night. Let's steal the night.
Come on, of course, this is Yacht Rock. It's smooth. It's getting yachty in here. It's the Yacht Rock Show with Eddie and Joe.
Mother Nature, I didn't know you were so fine on the vine.
Well, there's a lot you don't know.
I'll bet you don't know about this.
Oh, come on. That's a stick of my sweet creamy butter.
That's chiffon stick margarine.
Chiffon stick margarine?
Right, chiffon fooled you.
It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
If you think it's butter, but it's not, it's chiffon.
This is Yacht Rock.
What you gonna do when she says goodbye?
Hi, this is Dave Jenkins.
Hi, this is Corey Larius from Pablo Cruz.
Here with your host, Eddie Gann. We're playing the biggest hits of the 70s and 80s just for you.
Next up,
Love Will Find a Way.
Love you have done.
You got to love that. That Ronnie Millsap. Joe, interesting. Who would think? But you could tell he loves soul music. I mean, that's a rare remix, dance remix of that song, which is, by the way, On the Boat, Certified Yacht. Well, you can hear it. Gank, 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 gank. You know?
Wow.
Crazy. That, I love that. That funky guitar in the beginning. Amazing.
So who's responsible for that?
Honestly, I don't know the catch on that one, but I know that he, you know, Ronnie Millsap was old. He had a bunch of crossover hits. So he's,
yes.
You know, he's the, right, he's a veteran into that. It's not just, of course, you know, a lot of people automatically pigeonhole him country, which, I mean, I get it. Because he does sound country, needless to say. But he crossed over in the early 80s, man. He did very well in the pop scene.
Right.
You know? Yeah, this didn't do anything. I don't remember this. You know, he had those other hits, you know? But still, it's so much fun to hear stuff like that and a rare track like that one, you know?
Yep.
So next up is Dane Donahue. Now, here's a very yachty album. This guy started off at one of the performers on Jesus Christ Superstar. Isn't that wild?
But the original production?
Yep. And then he got a deal. He had this one album. But I tell you, if you're going to have one album, this is the way to do it. On the album, he's backed by everybody. Jay Graydon, Mike Porcaro, Bill Champlin, Larry Carlton, Steve Lukather, Don Henley. I mean, the list goes on. And Chuck Rainey, Larry Carlton, Victor Feldman, Ernie Watts. It's crazy. Stevie Nicks, J.D. Souther. I mean, the list goes on. If you're going to do an album, this is the way to do it. Steve Lukather. Right, Joe?
Beautiful, yeah.
It really is. Well, check this out. This is called Tracy, and this is yachty as hell. Check it out.
Thank you.
Hello, Yacht Rockers. You're tuned in to The Smooth. It's the greatest yacht rock from coast to coast and worldwide. This is The Yacht Rock Show.
I have nothing against heat lamps for sore backs, but I don't want one to bake my already cooked hamburger. That's why I come here to Wendy's. At Wendy's, your hamburger comes to you hot off the grill. You can see it with your own eyes coming right off the grill. Look, you want heat lamps? Go to a health club. You want a hot and juicy hamburger? Go to Wendy's.
I'm glad you said that.
Well, I want to shake your hand.
Congratulations.
Wendy's.
Ain't no
reason to go any place else.
I'm Michael McDonald.
Hi, this is Christopher Cross.
Hi, this is Kenny Loggins.
Hi, you guys, I'm Al Jarreau.
Hi, this is Melissa Manchester.
Hey, everybody, this is Wayne Nelson from Little River Band.
It's the greatest yacht rock from coast to coast and worldwide.
And she rises to her apology. Anybody
this is the Yacht Rock Show.
And we're back.
And we are back.
Yeah, one of us is back.
Oh, no, Joey.
Oh, there it is.
It's the dreaded anchor.
Wait, what's this thing?
So this is, believe it or not, Joey, from Thomas Dolby. This is called Airwaves. And this was sent in by Torre M. Spears. Hey, Torre, how are you? He's a big listener of the show. I love him.
Thomas Dolby. Torre,
you thanks for sending this in.
Blinded me with science.
I hope I'm saying it right. This is from the same album of She Blinded Me with Science. So,
I guess I'm on the Pay No Mind list because I just said that.
I'm sorry. You said
okay,
I didn't hear you. Sorry.
That's funny. So, that's what? That's like 84?
No. No, this is 80, recorded in 81, released in 82.
Okay.
Yeah. The timing is right, Joe.
He's kind of like, he was in that vein with like Gary Newman.
Oh, you know, excellent.
He had that weird little common thread. Him, Nick Kershaw a little bit. You know, they had that.
Yes.
Any of those guys that they were the front men. They played the instrument and they were actually strange in some way, which a lot of those guys tried to do, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
The two that come to mind are Nick Kershaw and Gary Newman.
That's correct.
Yeah, so now I'm thinking he's a little bit too new romantic.
Oh.
You know, it leans more towards like Duran Duran / the guys from Spandau Ballet than it does Yacht Rock. You know? To me.
Yeah, no.
That might just be my headspace for it.
No, I think you're right. That first of all, it strikes me as new wave-ish.
That's the word I was looking for. I say new romantic all the time. I don't know why I say that.
It's new wave.
It's new wave.
And Joey, it reminds me of, this is synth pop.
Right. So you have the terms down. You got to fill in the blank.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see where this may have thrown him off, that he might think, but there's nothing jazzy or R&B about this. No. No.
Although, you know, you can't pigeonhole all the Brits from this time period because there were a lot, like we just played, the Average White Band was like, it's all Brits. And, you know, most of these guys, we didn't even know some kind of foreign nationality. Like
I love
Thompson,
this year, right.
And Al Stewart was from Scotland. Wait for morning.
No, it was not. Interesting. So Thomas Dolby is a hell of a keyboard player, needless to say.
Yeah, I like the song.
Yeah, the song is great in its own right.
Yes.
But this is not Yacht. No way. No. Right, Joe?
Yeah, it's not Yacht, but I love it.
No. But, you know, Tori, yeah, thank you for sending.
We're raised on that stuff, you know, that 80s.
Yeah, we love this. Love this.
New wave, like, listen, synth pop.
Not everything's going to be Yacht Rock, you know what I'm saying?
No.
It's just, right, you know? But this is great in its own right. But this is new wave, synth pop. She Blinded Me with Science, love it.
Right.
You know, this is the album is called From the Golden Age of Wireless. I'm sorry, this gets one anchor, which means definitely nowhere near the boat, nowhere near the yacht, and it's not yacht. But thank you for sending in. By the way, folks, you want to send in your songs to see if they float the boat here on the Yacht Rock Show, you can either reach me through Twitter or yachtrockshow@gmail.com or come to our Facebook page, The Yacht Rock Show. All right?
And we are moving.
What's that, Joe?
Well, last thing I want to say is, my goodness, Miss Yakamoto, you're beautiful. Do you remember he says that? He says that in Blinded Me with Science. Do you remember that?
Oh, really?
Somebody said, yeah, some voiceover guy, like an old, it's supposed to be the old man in the video.
Oh, I love
my
that.
God. It says, my goodness, Miss Yakamoto, you're beautiful. You blinded me with science.
That's great.
That's what I
love that song, by the way. All right, folks, we are moving on.
Not by way of an apology for the things that I have done. Do I set my boat up on the sea? So like thunder I am breaking free in the landscape of the heart. It's hard to tell what's really taking me. We'll be right back.
their secrets in the sand. Those Coney Island boys in satin jackets choose up among themselves to see who'll get a chance at those Brooklyn girls. They like to talk to Brooklyn girls. They shine and glow up Brooklyn girls. Hold on, I'm coming for you. She dreams about the lights across the river, dances in the dark while the radio plays. She knows that someone out there must be waiting to take her in his arms. Who's real?
That was the third single off of his Street Corner Heroes album, the Robbie Dupree, Brooklyn Girls. And folks, now Joe and I are going to give you the Robbie Dupree interview. So we hope you guys enjoy this. It's very candid, right, Joe? Unscripted?
Yeah, it's unscripted, yeah. Samir just hit the record button. We didn't even say any intro or anything. This is the intro, actually. So whatever we give you, it's just all the raw speaking and discussing things that have nothing to do with music. He's a resident of Woodstock, and I've been there a couple of times, and I frequent there. And we talked about some of the local haunts, some of the local people, and then we went into some of his career. I wanted to ask him, I know you always ask, where, you know, how did he get his start and all. We kind of touched on that a little when he said he recorded the album and there was no deal in place. But he gets into that. It's really interesting. So stick with it.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, we don't want to give it up, so let's let you guys enjoy it. And we will leave you with that. Until the next
Yacht Rock Show.
See ya.
Oh, there
Robbie.
That's me. Good morning.
There he is.
Hey, Rob.
What's up?
How you doing?
I didn't have to post. I didn't have to paste anything into the Chrome. It just miraculously happened.
Yeah, you just opened the email, you accept, you said start recording, and it's miraculous.
It's a lot easier than the last interview I did like this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What did they use?
I can't remember. It was only a couple of days ago, and I just remember it was a drag. I mean, it was video and audio. And it it was really like there was buffering, and there was, you know, everything was dropping in and out. It was like horrendous. And it was live.
Oh boy.
Oh.
So that really made it tough.
Gotcha.
Anyway, everybody okay over there? And where are you? Where is over there?
Well, we're in Jersey.
Okay.
Down the thruway from you.
Yeah, right. Where?
Northern. I'm Bergen County, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Eddie,
and
is,
I'm central Jersey, Marlboro.
Got it. Well, my producer and drummer for 40 years lived in Garfield. I guess you guys know where that is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I know where that is.
Between us.
Sure.
So I got to know a little bit about Jersey.
There's a nasty echo on me. You guys hear it?
No.
Yeah.
No? Okay, well, I'm the only one? All right.
You're not getting it. That's good.
I'm not getting it.
Yeah, okay. It. All right, that's good.
We can work through it.
So you're where? Upstate New York?
I'm in Woodstock, New York, yes.
Yeah, last Woodstock. Time we spoke, I remember that you mentioned Woodstock, yeah. Which I frequent.
Oh, yeah? What do you do? Come up and just
I haven't been.
Day trips? Or
you know what I miss most of? Yeah, day trips. I miss Sweet Sue's in Phoenicia.
Yeah, that was a nice place. Sue Oakley. Yeah, yeah, it was a cool place to go.
Cool place. And you hear Sweet Sue's, you think some sweet little grandmother, gray-haired.
No.
She was like in awesome shape. She was like a trainer or something.
Her and her sister, she had a younger sister named Kathy who was like nuts looking, you know.
Right.
And she had a juice bar of all things. So they were in the kind of the place was always packed with men who probably never had a juice in their life.
Right, just
but they were lined up.
I love it.
Fist fighting online to get in.
That's funny.
I don't know what
so
it became.
Closed?
I don't
Did
know
they close now?
I don't know what became of her. There was I don't know how long ago you were here. I know that there was a fire and the place burned out.
Right.
And then sometime later it reopened. I haven't been up in Phoenicia in quite a while. So I don't know if it reopened, and if it did, does she still have it? You know,
yeah, I think it did reopen.
Right, but she's out, right?
I don't know. I haven't been there that long. I just thought it was her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what did you come up just to, like, hang out, or did you go skiing up here, or what was going
on? No, skiing. Are you kidding me? I'm a starving artist. I have no medical insurance. If I break my leg, I'm done.
Okay, I got it.
Break a leg.
You got a lot of famous neighbors up there in Woodstock.
I know
Michael Franks has been up there.
Michael's a neighbor, and Jack DeJohnette, the famous jazz drummer, and Carly Bley, another jazz artist, Steve Swallow, Tony Levin.
Oh, of course.
I
know Matheny's got a place up there.
Matheny has a place right up by Jack's. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of people. It sort of circulates in and out. You know, there were a lot more. Years ago, it was really overrun with recording artists and stars.
Right.
And then, you know, every community goes through its changes, you know. And
oh, yeah.
And different people come in.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's a different scene in Woodstock than it used to be in a lot of ways. I think
that, yeah, I'm sure it became a caricature of
itself.
Well,
you know, part of that and part of the fact that when I came here the first time, it seemed like everybody that came here with a dream they were trying to realize, you know, whether they were in music or recording or acting or whatever that. And now it seems like you've had to already had your dream to come here.
Right.
Because it's just too expensive. So it changes the kind of people that are, you know what I mean? I hate to use
absolutely
energy as a word, but I mean as a description. But it really is a different energy when everybody is sort of well off and has a lot of money. It changes the complexion of the town.
What do you mean the first time? You said you went there the first time. Did you move out again and then go back?
I moved out, yeah. I moved here, and then I moved to Los Angeles, and then came back after the whole Steal Away hit happened. Then I came back.
Steal Away, what's that? Is that a song of yours or something?
Yeah, it's a little known song. And after that happened, I came back to New York, back to Woodstock, and more or less I've stayed here since then. And I mean, I love
gotcha.
It. It's my home. I grew up in Brooklyn in a place that it just is not anywhere near. I don't know how to even put it. It's just like everything changes.
I mean, what it is now.
But some places still have, you know, a connection with you. You know, you grew up in Bay Ridge or someplace like that in Brooklyn, and there's still an association. But where I grew up, it really completely changed. And even though I grew up there, you became anonymous. You know, no one knew you. Everything closed. You know, all of the businesses that you knew were gone.
So do you have no nostalgia for that at all?
There's some nostalgia for it because, you know, although it was a hard part of town to live in, it was, you know, you only know what you know. You know, you don't know what's on the other side of the train, you know. And I enjoyed it a lot. I had a lot of friends there. And wherever you grow up has naturally...
Yeah, some meaning to you.
Some meaning, sure. You know, so that's where you went to school and you went to church and, you know, what, all the things that you do when you're a kid. And so when I came to Woodstock, I had a feeling that this would never change, you know, that I could always come back here. And it seemed like it had been the way it was for a long time. And it still looks the same as when I came here. I mean, there's no neon signs or big buildings or, you know, it still has the same basic look. But I think the shell is here, but the peanut's gone.
So there you go.
It's a little different for me anyway.
So Joey, why don't we do a, let me do an intro so that we can edit it later.
We'll fly it in later.
Okay. So as I was going to say, Robbie, so what's happening with, well, obviously right now you're not performing and all that, but have you been doing anything like performing from your house or stuff like that? Or
I did a thing with, there's a great group out of Atlanta called the Yacht Rock Review. They're quite amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing. And I've known them now maybe 7 years, and I've done guest spots on their shows.
Right.
And they wanted to do a quarantine video. So we did a really nice one on Hot Rod Hearts. That was probably, by now it's probably 6 weeks ago or something like that. And,
right.
And we did it for a Los Angeles fundraiser, again, for people who were affected with COVID and didn't have any money. And so this was a thing that had probably like 50 or 60 different Los Angeles show people in it. And we did a nice thing with that, but no, I haven't done much of it. You know, it's,
gotcha.
I don't know. It's kind of flat, you know.
Yeah.
The thing with them was cool because there was 9 of us and, you know, it was really complete and fun, but just to sit there by yourself and do it, I don't know how much fun that is.
Exactly.
So yeah,
I don't think much. Go ahead.
So you're very cool, Robbie, with the, Yacht Rock thing, the whole, your association with the Yacht Rock phenomenon.
Yeah, those guys, you know, you don't want to go into a whole long story about it, but what happened was a guy who has worked, been my friend and worked with me over the years, his name is Brian Ray, and he's for the past, I think it's about 18 years, 17 years, he's worked playing with Paul McCartney. And he called me one day and said, I was just on a cruise, and one of the bands on the cruise was this band called Yacht Rock Review. They were amazing. They wanted to know about you. They did your songs. They knew I played with you, you know. And he said, "So I'm going to give you their number and just give them a hello. I know they'd like it." And I did. And they had a gig in New York at a little place called the Canal Room on the West Side downtown. And I said, you know what, I'll come down and see your show. And I got down there, and then they invited me to sit in. And I was a little worried and about what it would be like, but no rehearsal or anything. But they nailed it. They played Hot Rod Hearts and Steal Away, you know, perfect. You know,
yeah, that's, nice.
That's what they do. And that started that relationship, and then me contacting other peers from back then, you know, the late 70s, early 80s. And telling them about them, and then those guys became guests, and you know, it's been quite nice for all of us.
But you've embraced it. I mean, you definitely have a nice attitude towards it, where people like Boz Scaggs, he doesn't care for that term. Are you aware of that?
Well, I mean, I'm not aware of it. Of course, I'm aware that some people don't like it, but I think that they're taking themselves quite seriously. And what's the alternative for Boz? That they call him soft rock? Or that, you know, it's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like, I really don't understand it, but they just take it real serious, and I don't know what they want to. See, we didn't make it up. It came to us, and the young people, for them, it means a lot. When you play a yacht rock concert, first of all, you play a sellout concert wherever you go. And that means, you know, 3,000 tickets, 5,000 tickets. I mean, it's enormous all around the country. They're with Live Nation now. And so they've been, you know, they are for real. And nobody in the audience is over 30 years old. And it's the most
unbelievable.
It is. And it's the most unbelievable thing to come and do a show with the same music, but like a completely different audience. And I don't do the oldie shows, you know, so this is the only kind of a thing like this I'll do. And the reason for that is because the audience is so enthusiastic and they know every song by every artist and every word. And it's really a phenomenon, you know.
That's the reason it's lasted this long, or the young generation has really embraced it.
That's right.
And even Samir, our engineer, he's not familiar with a lot of the tunes that we play. And when we play something, like half the time he's Shazamming it, trying to figure out what the tune is to save it.
Right.
All these older 70s tunes, and he's loving them, you know, the instrumentation and all. He's a musician too, so it really attracts him.
They do have, you know, I think people always ask me in interviews about the yacht rock phenomenon and all of that, and why do you think the young people like those songs? And I just think that in their own way, they're about romance. They're about almost an innocent sound to them, you know? Songs like Baby Come Back and Sailing and, you know, Ride Like the Wind. I mean, they're not hard to listen to, and I think the kids dig that. The young people dig it. And that doesn't mean they don't like any of today's music. It just means that this is one of the things that they really dig, you know?
It doesn't sound old, you know? Steal Away sounds like it was recorded yesterday.
Well,
you know?
Thank you for saying that. I mean, I don't know. Certain things have, you don't start off planning anything like that, you know? And nobody knew 40 years ago that this music was all still going to be viable and playing the airways. But it happened. And I think that when an artist can embrace that and have the right attitude about it, I think it's only helping us. I'll bet. Absolutely. That Boz...
Yeah, you have the right attitude.
Well, Boz...
I love that.
Boz's sound scan checks have probably gone up considerably since Yacht Rock.
Yeah, he doesn't mind cashing the checks, that's, I'm sure. Right.
And I think he's a great artist, and I dig him. I just don't know why anybody has to, you know, rebel against the silly name like Yacht Rock. Even the group itself, those guys in Atlanta, they think it's funny. You know, it's just like, take it easy, you know? It's not anything that heavy.
It is.
Steve Lukather is a big fan. He's so cool about it, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's smart. You know, he's on the beat all the time playing and doing stuff. And Toto is probably, I would say, the number one, like Michael McDonald and Toto.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably the two biggest played yacht rock.
Yep.
And a lot of these people didn't embrace it in the beginning. And then they started to understand, you know, that there was an audience there for it. And they recognize that it's giving them more juice in their careers and more money in the bank.
I think Kenny Loggins is too. He likes it.
Well, I think all these guys didn't start off liking it, but I think that they grew to
understand. That's right.
They grew to understand it as time went by, because it is what it is, you know, and you're going to,
yeah.
you can't tell people not to, don't say I play yacht rock. You know, you can't do that. It's right. Kind of silly.
You know, I wanted to ask you, I love the way that song Hot Rod Hearts, you were saying how it paints a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the part where it says, you know, the blue jean, sweatshirt, the backseat. Right. Every time I hear that, it just takes me back to Miami. I'm there. It's so, it kills me.
Well, it had.
Love it.
It's one of those, you know, I believe that certain songs transport people to a thing that they related to a lot, you know. And if it was if you were in a car culture when you were a kid, or I remember just think about how big like the Beach Boys with the surf culture, you know, and how even though we lived in East New York, Brooklyn, and there wasn't anywhere to surf there, but like we thought of California when we heard that music. That's our envisionment of how wonderful California was, just in the sun with girls and surfing, you know. Sounded good.
It does.
when I hear a Beach Boys song or a Jan and Dean song or one of those, you know, kind of surf music, I get transported, not necessarily to my personal experience on a beach, but like to my experience listening to the songs and, you know, watching American Bandstand and just the things I did when I was a kid when that music came out. And I'm lucky to have any songs that remind people of their best years, maybe.
Man, who doesn't know Steal Away?
I guess. Unbelievable. It's got about 4 million airplay now, so it's gone.
Wow.
Quite a while.
Wow, that's amazing. So I got to ask you, I know that you were, is it true that you were a carpet layer in Brooklyn?
Not quite.
really? Don't go to Wikipedia. Do not do your research on Wikipedia.
No. Wait a minute.
I'm sure it says
Joe.
The story is quite, go ahead. It got twisted in time. What it really was that when Steal Away and that whole project did not get signed to any labels, nowhere, New York, California, nothing. I went back home here to Woodstock, and a good friend of mine knew that I needed work, and I didn't really have any particular skill. So he gave me a job at a company out in Long Island called Tri-State Floors. And what it was a warehouse for carpet. And I loaded carpet and cut carpet on big machines. And I did that. So it sort of got morphed into something else. I think now I'm going to start telling people some other story about what I did.
You know, make up whatever you want.
It's time now, 40 years later, I can tell them.
I think I heard that from Casey Kasem.
Yeah, of course. Oh.
Back in the day.
And Dick Clark and a lot of people. But see, once something gets started, you know, like that, you can't go bother telling a long story about it. So I just let it
be. Nah, I hear you.
It's fine.
Go ahead, Joe.
I'm sorry. So you're telling me the project, the Steal Away project, was recorded before you had any deal in place?
Correct.
Wow. So, and you went out to L.A. to do that.
Yeah, I moved. That's when I moved out of Woodstock. And I don't know how long of a story you want out of this, but
as long as you're willing to tell.
I had a band here for a long, long time. And there were like creative differences. And all of a sudden we got a deal on Mercury Records. And I just got a bad feeling about staying around and doing a record that was not going to be the record. You know, if I waited all this time, I wanted to try to at least do my own vision, not the band and everybody else's songs, you know. So I left them with the deal, and I went to California and caught up with my old friends who I'd originally met in Woodstock. They had a band. I loved their band. I asked them to produce this project, and I worked in a restaurant, and I was a host in a restaurant. And with money I made in the restaurant and some spec time that was given to me by the studio. We were able to do four songs for, I mean, they were done in master quality, but we referred to them as a demo. And that was shopped around, and it was not, nobody bought it. And so, you know, after a while, I realized I'd have to go home because I'd done everything I could, and it wasn't happening. So I just thought, well, it wasn't my time, and I'll have to see what happens. So naturally, I went back and went to work and did what I had to do. 3 months later, quite by coincidence, my producer's brother, who was not representing me or anything, he had a visit from a guy from Elektra Records, a social visit, and he was playing cassettes, and they were just hanging out, and one of the cassettes he put in was mine, but he wasn't shopping. He was just playing, you know, they were just hanging out, and the guy loved it and said, what's he doing? Let's find him. They tracked me down, called me, and he said, that simply, he said, come to New York. I mean, come from New York to LA and we will give you a record deal. Come on out like next week. And so after, you know, 15 years of trying everything, it happened just like that. Just one guy stops at somebody's house. They play the cassette. You know, it's an amazing timing, you know, the synchronicity of that moment. If that guy hadn't stopped by at that time, and if Al Panetta hadn't played the tape at that time, that's how close I was to being a guy in a warehouse.
Wow. Hey, Robbie, I want to ask you something that I've been hearing, or that I read about. Is it true that they tried to sue you,
no.
Michael McDonald's management?
No, not at all.
Is that true about the song?
Absolutely not. Michael McDonald.
No?
Michael McDonald is extremely delightful guy, very kind, and he or his manager would never do that. There was a guy who was a publisher of Loggins Music who had called up and threatened because there was a piano lick that was reminiscent of What a Fool Believes, that he and when we just said, bring it on, you know, there's no melody, there's no lyric, there's no nothing like that. It's just a piano. It's a piano lick, and everybody used that lick at that time anyway.
You're right.
I just happened to pop out. So anyway, that's another story that I'm kind of sick of talking about.
I'm sure. But I had to bring it up. I hope you don't mind.
Well, I don't mind, but I mean, it's that nothing ever, there was nothing.
He already said he minds. Just move on.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow.
Hey, so you know what I wanted to ask you about too? I read on your website that you were in a band in 1970 with Nile Rodgers.
Does it say 1970?
Yeah, is that incorrect?
Yeah, that's incorrect. It was.
Well, that's your fault then.
Yeah, or the people who put it up there. Yeah. No, it was probably, it probably started up in about 68.
Whoa.
And you know, it was a very different time and a different, you know, Nile was a poor kid living in the Bronx. He and his cousin were both members of the Black Panther Party. It was a whole other world for Nile. And
interesting.
It was a good band. We were mostly playing R&B and blues covers. And we all just, we dug playing together. We just didn't necessarily have a cogent statement, you know. But I thought we had a really good band and really good, you know, it was really good music and really soulful. But we couldn't get enough work, and it was an interracial band. And at that time, believe it or not, it wasn't that easy to work on a low level that we were on. We weren't like Sly and the Family Stone, where it didn't matter. But trying to get gigs in Brooklyn and Queens and Long Island and Manhattan, and it was hard, definitely hard. And
what part of Brooklyn did you live in?
It's called East New York.
East New York?
Yeah. It's
oh, okay.
It's all the way out. It's the last stop in Brooklyn before you get to Queens.
So it's not too far from Coney Island.
No, not too far. It's if you were to take the Belt Parkway, it's off the Belt Parkway before you get out to the Queens part, like where you go to Rockaway and all of that. So it was sort of the end of the world in a lot of ways when I was a kid growing up, you know. Most people that live in Brooklyn don't even know where it is.
Do you go back? Do you frequent?
No, I don't. I have gone back there a couple of times just to see, you know, the old neighborhood and to see the house. And I brought somebody there who grew up there as well, who I reconnected with. He's a screenwriter in Hollywood. And he wanted to go back, but he hadn't been there in 50 years. And he was sort of trepidatious about going on his own. So I met him in Manhattan and we went down and I took him past his old house and, you know, the landmarks that you go look when you go home again, you know, but he understood that it's nothing. It's not like you're going to go into a store and see anybody that, you know, it's a long, long time and a lot of changes.
Major changes.
You kept a lot of people in your life musically since the very beginning. I see names that to this day, like Rick Shudakoff.
Right.
And Bill the Bounty you wrote with.
Peter Bonetta and Leslie Smith. And
What do you attribute those long relationships to?
They were family. You know, we struggled here a long time ago, really broke. And we built really good friendships back then. And then that turned into we all became successful through my project together, and their careers were launched as producers out of that. And I don't know, we've worked together since the recording. It's 40 years, but we worked together for a couple of years even before that. And in all this time and all these deals and all of this stuff, we never had a contract. It's always just been.
That's awesome.
The honor system.
Friendly word of mouth.
No lawyers.
I love that.
No contracts. So I don't know. That's just maybe something that comes from our upbringings. You know, like you want to kind of stick with the posse. You know, and you just want to be there.
Yep. Amen to that.
Eddie, you want to close with anything?
Well, before that, so what are you up to now? What's happening with Robbie?
Well, Robbie is like everybody, stuck in the house watching reruns, but I've been busy creatively over these past years doing, I guess I have 11 albums now that I've done, and most of them get released overseas, like in Japan or in Scandinavia.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And so
the one you did with David Foster. Fly away.
I've done several of those kind, you know, the David Foster, the Burt Bacharach, the tribute albums to these artists, but also my own records. And I just have been putting out singles, not albums now, because the whole business model has flipped. So what I do now is I create singles and put them out. And I have, in the past year, I guess it is, I put out one called Ordinary Day. And another one called Audio Graffiti. And you as radio guys ought to check them out. You know, you can find them on Spotify or anywhere. And that's what I'm up to.
Awesome.
Keep it on.
Well, bro, listen, you know, we love you here at the Yacht Rock Show. I don't want to thank you for the IDs. You've always been very gracious to us. And I know I don't want to hold you because I know you got to get back to doing your thing. But, brother, I want to thank you so much for sharing with us this time.
Okay, my pleasure. Good luck with the...
All right?
Good luck.
Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you, Robbie. Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Be well.